We're doing Megillat Rut. We'll begin with a quick overview. The story of Megillat Rut takes place during the period of the judges, after Yoshua has passed away. We have on tradition that Boaz is Ivtzon. That puts him as one of the later Shoftim. So this story is taking place approximately 150 years before King David's time. We have on tradition that Rus was the daughter or granddaughter or great-granddaughter of Eglon, the king, who was taken on by Ehud Min Gera, the second or third of the Shoftim. So we're dealing about four or five generations into the period of the Shoftim. And our basic story is there's a great man named Elimelech, who has an amazing wife named Naomi, and two children, Mahlon and Chilion. There's a famine in the land of Israel. He goes out to Moabite territory, and over there he dies, his children dies, he loses his wealth. And then Naomi comes back to the land of Israel. Her two daughters-in-law, Rus and Arpah, two Moabite women, their children married these women. So they come back with her, and she tells them, no, go back. Why should you come with me? It's a, I'm impoverished. Well, I can't help you. Your daughters are kings. Go back. So I won't have any more kids for you to marry. And even if I do, it's going to be a while. So Arpah kisses her and goes back. And Rus sticks around. Naomi tells her, look, your sister-in-law went back. You go back as well. And Rus refuses, and Rus becomes a Gioris. They come back to the land of Israel. Naomi has a relative, a man named Boaz. He's the hero of our story. Boaz owns a lot of fields. And Rus tells Naomi, let me go collect the stalks that the poor are entitled to in the field. Lekachik van Peah. She happens upon the field of Boaz. Boaz recognizes her. They talk. And Boaz is told who she is. Boaz happens to be a relative of Naomi's. He's a relative of Elimelech. And Boaz tells her, don't worry, you stick around with my field and we'll take care of you over here. And he tells his lads to make sure to drop all kinds of stalks next to her. So she ends up coming home with a tremendous pile. And when Naomi sees she comes home with such a huge pile, she says, where'd you go today? How'd you do so good? And she tells her the whole story, how Boaz invited her to eat with his lads and to drink from the water they draw. And Naomi tells her, you stick with his field. And she sticks with those fields till they finish harvesting. Naomi tells Rus, I want things good for you. You know Boaz is a relative of ours, and tonight he's going to be out with the grain. You wash yourself and go down tonight, and after he finishes eating and drinking, see where he lies down, go lie down next to him, and he'll tell you what to do. She goes there, and in the middle of the night, he suddenly sees a girl next to him. Yes, who are you? She says, it's me, Rus. You have a mitzvah to marry me. And Boaz says, I swear, we're not doing anything tonight. Tomorrow morning, I'll go to the courts, and we'll take care of the inheritance of the fields that your husband left behind, and yourself. You're supposed to be married by a relative. Boaz goes to the courts the next morning, and he summons the closer relative. There's one relative who is closer to the family. He has first rights to purchase the fields that they sold, to redeem them on behalf of the family. And he also has first rights to marry Rus. And he says, I'm concerned. I don't want to marry into Rus because Rus is a Moabite woman. And even though you're telling me that Allah is, I'm allowed to, but who knows what the next generation will say. I don't want to harm my family. So they make a treaty, they make a pact, they have an agreement, they do a special kinyan, a special act to seal the pact, and then Boaz marries Rus, and from Rus comes King David eventually. The end of the Megillah tells us the lineage. From Boaz, he had a son named Oved, and Oved had Yishai, and Yishai had David. So Rus is David's great-grandmother, right? So that's the story of Rus. Chazal tell us, there are no halachos in the Megillah. The Megillah is here to teach us about chesed. That's the theme that runs through the Megillah, and that's the message we're supposed to learn from the Megillah. After we finish the Megillah, we'll have to discuss, so why do we read it on Shavuos? Shavuos is the time we get the Torah. So that's where we're headed. So let's begin the Megillah. We'll read it with drop, and we'll try to explain. Vayehi B'mei shifot ha-shofetim v'yihi ra'av ba'aretz v'yelech ish mi-beit lechem Yehuda lagor b'sdei Moab u'v'ishto u'shnei v'nav. So it was the time when there were judges. So people were judging the judges. Shifot ha-shoftim. They were judging the judges.
Who was judging the judges?
The people. They were saying, you guys, you're improper in this and you're improper in that. Why are you telling me I should be more perfect? You're not perfect. So God sends a famine to help the people repent. I assume you want me to stick to the text.
We
could branch out. We could explain things and go in depth into many concepts about how people see God only through their troubled times, etc. I assume better we stick to the text. If you want a class that branches out on topics, we could do that.
Okay, no, I'm just trying to understand even the
pshat. Okay, so I'm saying, so let's stick to pshat, okay? I'm just saying, you agree with me that we should stick to pshat.
Yeah?
Okay, so Chazal says, shvot ha-shoftim can simply be understood when the judge is judged. And Chazal says, shvot ha-shoftim is when the judges were judged.
Uh-huh.
That the people looked at the judges and said, what are you telling me? I'm improper in this. You're improper in even bigger things. Who are you to tell me I'm wrong? So it was a problematic time. The people were looking at their judges and they didn't like what they saw. And they had good claims against them. So here there's a discussion which period exactly is this talking about, because Boaz was a very righteous person. So God sends a famine. And this is one of the 10 famous famines in world history. This is the 6th famine in world history, the 6th famine we find in Tanakh. The 10th famine is the famine that's still to come. There are 9 recorded in Tanakh, and the 10th is still to come in the days to come. And that's the famine that the Navi tells us. Lo rav la lechem v'lo tzom al ha-mayim. The famine won't be for bread or water, but rather to hear the words of the Prophet, to hear the words of Hashem. So here there was a terrible famine in the land of Israel. So there was a great man, Vayelech Ish. He is described as an Ish, and you'll notice that the first pasuk does not identify who we're talking about. A great man leaves a great territory in Israel, Beis Lechem Yehuda. We know that's where the kings came from. So he was in royal territory, and he was a very important person, and he went to live. He went logur, to be a sojourner, bisdei Moab, in the fields of Moab, him, his wife, and his 2 children. So why is he going to Moabite territory? We know the Moavim. Why don't we let them marry into the Jewish people? The Torah says, because they didn't want to allow you to purchase food from them. When we were passing by them, they made a boycott against us. God says they made a boycott. They didn't want to sell you food. So you can't marry them. Stay away from them. That's not the way a nation's supposed to behave. You see another people hungry and thirsty, you're supposed to sell them food.
That was when the Jews were about to come into the land of Israel.
Correct. So they went to live in this territory. And the commentaries point out that it's very fitting that a family who was wealthy at a time of famine, and they didn't want to part with their wealth, so they left Israel to Chutz La'aretz because they didn't want to part with their wealth. And where'd they go to? To people who are described as a people who do not want to part with their wealth. The people of Moab, they don't want to give the Jewish people of their own food, not even to sell of their own food. So he's one of the great leaders of the Jewish people. He should have prayed over the Jewish people.
So,
and we're going to find that the famine ends when Boaz prays over the Jewish people. It is described that the famine ended as a response to Boaz's prayers. Elimelech should have stood up to the time. He should have rebuked the people, helped them repent, and prayed on their behalf. When he left, the people felt like they were abandoned. Wow! Elimelech left! Imagine if there were troubling times and the chief rabbi packs his bags and says, guys, it's too tough here. I'm leaving. What are other people going to say? Yeah. You were saying?
Right. Okay. I mean, I guess you answered. So, I mean, the implication is what he did was not good. He left Beit Lechem Yehudah to live in Sdei Moab. That was bad.
It was cheaper to live there.
It was cheap. So,
but it was a mistake.
But it wasn't necessarily a financial necessity for him to go down there.
The Talmud discusses that it reached a point where he couldn't even buy black bread. But nonetheless, our sages say because he was a great leader of the Jewish people, he shouldn't have left.
He should have held himself to a higher standard.
Right. So he leaves, and he's going to pay for that error with his life. And now the Megillah identifies who is this person. V'shem ha'ish, and the name of this great person was Eli Melech. And our sages say Eli Melech because he was really fit to be king. He could have been the next king. He could have taken the leadership, but he didn't. To be a true leader, you got to suffer with the people. And no, Eli Melech didn't stand up to that test. V'shem ishto Naomi. So we'll read it with the trap, yeah? V'shem ha'ish Eli Melech V'shem Ishto Naomi V'shem Shnei Banav Machlon V'chilion Efratim Mi-Beit Lechem Yehuda V'yavo Sdei Moab V'yiyu Sham. So the man's name is Eli Melech. His wife's name is Naomi. His two children's names are Machlon and Chilion. And they are important people. They are all important people of Beis Lechem Yehuda. And they leave. And they leave till they reach the field of Moab. And they remain there. So, they've gone to Chutz Laaretz. So, the Pasuk enumerates here a few mistakes. They left the Chutz Laaretz Lagur to visit. A lot of people go to Chutz Laaretz on Shlichut. They go because they feel it's important and they're coming back. But when they got there, they settled down. And they became permanent citizens of Moab. Vayihiyu sham. They stayed there, as we will see, they will be there for 10 years. Now that's no temporary stature. That's gaining citizenship. Vayamot Eli Melech ish Naomi Vatisha'er hi ushnei vaneha. Eli Melech, the husband, he led them all to Chutz Laaretz. So they were all following him. He was making the decisions. So he dies. He's the one held accountable for their leaving. And she and the children remain. And whenever we have the word she'er, vatisha'er, it connotes the concept of being secondary, tertiary. They're the remainder. They remain. You take the best portion on the plate, what remains is called the nish'ar. That's what remains. So the pasuk is stressing that she, her children, they remain. They, even though they were the majority, they're three and he's one, but he was the prime one. Vatisha'er hi ushnei vaneha.
He was greater.
He was greater. He was much greater. He was fit to lead the Jewish people. Vayisu lahem Nashim Moabiyot Sheim Achat Orpa V'Sheim Hasheni Rut V'Yeshivu Sham Ke'Eser Shanim. And so here it says they married Moabite girls. And there's an argument among the sages, were they Megayer them or not? Did they marry Gentile girls? Or did these Gentile girls do giyur? So they married these girls, and Rus is the daughter of Eglon, the king of Moab. So you see, they were held in high regard. They married princesses, and they remained over there another 10 years. So they're sticking around in Moab, and they've worked their way up. They've married princesses. Now, here we see that the sons sin as well. They marry Moabite girls. Vayamutu gam shneihem machlon v'chilyon v'tisha'er ha'isha mishnei yeladeha u'me'isha. So, God punishes them, and so they die young. They die without children, Machlon and Chilion, and they die out in Moabite territory. And so these three people who chose to leave for Chutzaretz are buried, they remain in Chutzaretz, and the woman remains a widow from her husband, and a woman who's lost her two children, and she's all alone. Chazal tell us in Pasuk Gimel, it says, Vayamos Elimelech Ish Naomi. Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died. That's his claim to fame. It doesn't say Elimelech, the great leader of the Jewish people. It doesn't say any other descriptory term about Elimelech. Simply, the husband of Naomi. From here our sages derive, Ena bal met ela leishto. When a husband dies, the person who feels it most is his wife. So it says, who died? The husband of Naomi. Who died? The father of Machlon and Chilion. Who died? A potential leader of the Jewish people, a great tzaddik, a lot of things. Doesn't say. The pasuk is stressing the one who feels it most is a person's own spouse. A wife feels it most when her husband dies, and a husband feels it most when his wife dies. Everyone else, they can move forward with life.
What does it mean, umeisha?
And from her husband.
Oh, and from her husband.
She remained. Now she remains. Everyone else passed away. Vatakom hi v'chaloteha vatashov misedei Moav ki shamea misedei Moav ki fakad Adonai et amo latet lahem lachem. So she gets up with her daughters-in-law to return from the fields of Moab, because she's heard a malach has come to tell her, an angel came to the fields of Moab to tell her that God has remembered his people, he's given them bread in the merits of Ivtson, the leader, and because of the prayer that he prayed before God. And we said Ivtson is Boaz. In his prayer, he's repealed the decree. So, we see it took 10 years. It didn't happen overnight. Very often people pray, they don't get what they asked for, they give up. Boaz prayed for 10 years. So, she's coming back. Chazal tell us they were so impoverished that it was pikuach nevesh. They came back on Yom Tiv. They traveled when ordinarily a person is prohibited from traveling because it was pikuach nevesh. They had nothing left to live off of. An angel came and told them, you want to live? Go back. There's food in Israel. So she gets up to go back and her daughters-in-law are following. Vateitze min ha-makom asher hayeta shama ushtei chaloteha ima vateilachna vaderech lashuv el eretz Yehudah. So she leaves. And Chazal tells when a tzaddik leaves a town, it makes an impression. Like when Yaakov left, it makes an impression that the place is different when you have the tzaddik there or not. So she leaves. And her two daughters-in-law are coming along. And they return on the path to come back to the land of Yehuda. Everyone's happy to go back. She and her daughters-in-law. Vatomir Naomi nishtei chaloteha. Lech na shov na isha levet ima ya'as Adonai imachem chesed kasher asitim imamitim ve'imadi. So Naomi tells her daughters-in-law, go back to your mother's houses. Go back to your mother's homes. And Hashem should do kindness with you as you did with your husbands that passed away. You ensured they have a good burial. I couldn't afford a proper burial. You took care of it. You refused to marry someone else after your husbands passed away. You took care of me. God should pay you back for all of that. Your acts of kindness. We see that Mahlon and Chilion married kind women. So these two girls, it seems, on the surface, the simplest understanding is they did not do gear. Because if they were Jewish, what's Naomi telling them to go back to their mother's home? So Naomi tells them, go back. And Naomi tells them, it's not because I hate you. I'm not telling you to go back because I dislike you. So Naomi blesses them. Yas Hashem imachem chesed. God should pay you back for your kindness because you did the utmost kindness. What's called chesed shel emet. Kindness, which is the truest form of kindness, where you cannot expect to get paid back. You did it with those that passed away. They can't pay you back, and I can't pay you back. So Hashem should pay you back. Hashem should pay you back for all of us. Yitein Adonai lachem umtzena menucha isha beit isha vatishak lahen vatisena kolan vativkena. Hashem should bless you. Hashem should give you complete wages for all the good you've done for me. And in that merit, you should each find peace in your husband's home. Now this isn't a simple blessing. Chazal tell us that a second marriage is always complicated. Chazal say if a widow marries a newlywed, a girl that's fresh, a girl that's never been married, so you have three thoughts in the bedroom. She's thinking of him, and he's thinking of her, and he's thinking of his first wife. Chazal say the number of thoughts that are in the bedroom depends on the number of partners a person had. If a person was once married, if he was once married, if she was once married, so then the Talmud says there are four thoughts in the bedroom. They're thinking of one another, and they're also thinking of their first marriage. So Chazal tell us, En adam atzeko at ruach, a person finds peace primarily with his first wife. The wife that a person marries in his youth, the wife that she's young and he's young and they get married and they build a home, that's the blessing of a peaceful home. That's where a person finds peace. A person can build a good home with a different scenario. But Chazal said that's the ideal. So now they've been married for 10 years. They're widows. And Naomi's giving them a special blessing. He says you should each find peace, menucha, in your husband's home. Vati, she kisses them. They raise their voice. They raise their voices, and they weep. So, Naomi blesses them two blessings. God should give you a free gift, just like you gave me and my children a free gift. God should pay you back. And the second blessing is that God should.
When she died, you mean the fact that they were married to her?
They took care of the burial. They took care of her. They fed her after her children died. They took care of the deceased and of her. And the second point is she's blessing them that they should have it good, just like they did good with her. Hashem should give them a good home. They should succeed in building a good home. So she said two blessings. You gave me for free, God should give you for free, and God should also pay you back for all the good that you did. Meaning two points. One is payback, and one is you did for free, God should give you, even if you don't deserve it, just for free. she kisses them, and she shows she loves them, and they all weep. Batomal nala kitachna shuv le'amech. They tell her, no, we're not going back to the old religion. We want to go back with you. We want to become Gerim. We want to become Jewish. Vatomil Naomi shuv navinotai lamateilach na'imi ha'od livanim v'meyai v'ayu lachem la'anashim. Naomi says, return my daughters. Why should you come with me? Do I have any more children within that could be husbands for you? Shov na vinotai lechna ki zakanti miyot leish ki amarti yesh li tikva gam hayiti alayla leish vegam yalati vanim. Return my daughters, don't keep following me. Go back to your nations. Because even if I thought to get married tonight, even if I were young and I could still have kids, even if I thought there was hope, even if tonight I got married and I had kids, halahein tisabelna. You're going to wait for them. Ad asher yigdalu, till they grow up. Halahein teagena. Will you remain, you'll hold yourself back and be old spinsters for them. Levilti heyot leish. You won't get remarried. Al benotai. Ki mali meod mikem. Ki yatze avi yad Adonai. Please, my girls, don't make me even more bitter, because I'm more embittered than you are, because God's extended his hand to punish me. So do me a favor, go back, build your lives, don't come with me. So Naomi's encouraging them to go back. And Naomi really wants to test, are they coming towards Judaism because they believe in it, or for other intent?
What would be other intent, for example?
What?
What would be possible other intent, for example?
Well, she's from a very prestigious family. They were married to prestigious men, even though they died in poverty. Chazal tell us, when the Jews are well off, we don't accept Gerim. We're worried maybe they're coming for other reasons. So Naomi tells him, go back. What you coming back for? You won't be able to marry my future kids. I don't recommend you come back. You go back to your own families. And Naomi says, I'm really not fit to give advice. I'm in such a state. But listen here, you're better off going back. Vatise na kolan. Vatike naod, vatishak o palachamota, verut davikava. So again, they raise their voice, they cry a second time, and Orpa kisses her, and Ruth sticks her. So she's spoken so sweetly, she's touched them, they cry, and Orpa accepts her advice. And Arpa says, the truth is, I love you. I don't love Judaism. That's not a reason to change my whole life. I'm going to go back. And Rus, she loves Naomi, but she also loves Judaism. So she clings even tighter. She holds on. She says, no, I'm not leaving.
Ve'elohea shuvi acharei yevimtech.
So Naomi tells her, you know, your sister-in-law went back to her nation, to her religion. Go follow her. Go back to your nation. Go back to your religion. God doesn't like people who come to Judaism for external reasons. And so Naomi starts telling her, you know, it's tough to be a Jew. And when Naomi sees that her sister-in-law was coming just because she loved her, just because she loved the mother-in-law, she didn't really believe in Judaism. She didn't want to connect to Judaism. So Naomi thinks maybe that's what's going on in Ruth's mind as well. So she thinks maybe Ruth loves her mother-in-law even more. So Naomi tries to convince her even more. And so Naomi tells her, look, your sister-in-law went back. Do like her.
What does la chamota mean?
To her mother-in-law. Chamot is a mother-in-law.
So where does it actually say that Orpa went back?
It says, it doesn't. The next pasuk says, Hinei shava yivimtech. Look, oh, your sister-in-law returned. Vatomer Rut al tifkei bi le'ozvech lashuv me'acharayich. Rus says, don't fight with me. Don't insist that I leave you, that I turn around. I want to become Jewish. Naomi tells her, you know, we got to keep Shabbos. We got to keep Yom Tov. You can't just do what you want. You can't walk a distance. Rus tells her, Ki el asher telechi eilech. Whatever distance you walk, Naomi, I'll walk. No problem. Naomi tells her, you know, you're not allowed to go to sleep where there are men. You're not allowed to go to sleep where you want. Rus answers, Talini Alin. Where you sleep, I'll sleep. Naomi tells her, you know, we got 613 mitzvot. Rus answers her, Amech Ami. Your nation is my nation. Whatever 613 your nation keeps, I'll keep. I'm going to become Jewish as though I was born Jewish. I'm going to lead life just like a Jew leads his life. Naomi tells her, you know, it's not just a question of the mitzvot. It's a question of what you believe as well. You, a Jew, believes that God runs the world. It's not just that he performs 613 mitzvot and he could believe whatever he wants. There's a philosophy to it. We believe in one God. He created the world. Rus answers her, Ve'lohayich Elohai. Your God is my God. I believe in that philosophy. Naomi tells her, you know, it's not just a question of the way you want to lead your life. Once you become Jewish, you're under the jurisdiction of the Jewish courts. And the Jewish courts, they could give a death penalty. Sometimes they could stone a person to death. Sometimes they could burn a person. Sometimes they could kill a person by sword. Sometimes they could hang a person. Well, you have to realize that's what we're talking about. Rus answers, Vashel tamuti amut. However you'll die, I'll die. Naomi tells her, you should know that you're not only obligated to the 613 when you're alive. You're not only under the court's jurisdiction in your life, but if the courts choose, see fit to kill a person, they don't even get buried with their family. There's a special burial place where we shame those people for eternity, those people who were killed by the courts. Rus answers her, Visham ekaver. I'll be buried wherever you're buried. I'm going to behave just like you. And Rus continues and says, Ko yase Adonai li v'cho yosif ki hamavet yafrid b'ini uv'ineich. Rus says, stop trying to discourage me, because God should continue paying me back the way he has until now, if it's a way of swearing, meaning so should God do to me. If not that, I will continue going with you, and the only thing that will separate us is death. so to speak, Rus was telling Naomi, you don't want me to be next to you. You walk and I'll follow. You can't tell me where to walk. It's a free country. You know, it's like two people. He says, stop walking with me. No problem. You walk. I'll just follow. You can't tell me where to walk and where not to walk. Rus is telling Naomi, I'm with you. Stop telling me to leave the pit. So Rus is insistent. And when Naomi sees that Rus is insistent, so she concedes.
Vatere ki mitametzeti lalechet ita vatechdal ledaber eleha.
So when Naomi sees that Rus is strong, that she wants to go with her, she stops talking to her, she stops trying to dissuade her. And from here we learn the halacha that we don't go too tough with the ger, and once a person chooses to be a ger, we go easy on him, even if we see that he doesn't keep all the mitzvot perfectly. We don't look toughly upon him. On the contrary, once he's accepted the yoke of heaven, even after he's a ger, even after he's accepted to become a ger, she hasn't become a giyoret yet. She said, I will become a giyoret. Once she agrees, we already accept them. We're more easygoing. Slowly, a person grows at their own pace. That's halacha. The Talmud says it in Yefamos. The Shulchan Aruch says it in Yoredeya. Once a person chooses to become a ger and they've clarified that they're serious and they're for real, so then we understand that it takes time to learn, and we don't look over their shoulder and say, oh, you got to do this way, you got to do that way. No, we take it easy. It's a very important point. People sometimes think they have to be perfect. Eventually we have to be perfect. It takes time to get there. And the halacha tells us to be aware of that. And the next pasuk is amazing. The next pasuk tells us, Vatelach nashiteihem. They both went. The second she decided to become a giyoret, the pasuk equates her with one of the finest women of Jewish history. She's just decided this is the path she's going to go on, and the pasuk equates them. They go together. They're equals.
But I thought she wasn't even for it. Her and her two sons weren't even close to where Eli Melech.
Look at that. Chazal say Eli Melech could have been the Mashiach.
So we don't
begin to understand how great Eli Melech was. He made one mistake and that's all people remember. But we have to realize that there's a lot about Eli Melech we don't know. Eli Melech was greater than her and her children and everyone. Eli Melech was tremendous.
Being like a third as great as Eli Melech is saying something.
Oh yeah.
Vatelach nashiteihem ad boana beit lachem.
So they go together till they reach Beis Lechem.
Vayehi kevo ana beit lechem vatehom kol ha'ir aleihen vatomarna hazot Naomi.
So they go together till they reach Beis Lechem. And when they reach Beis Lechem, the whole city's in shock. Is that Naomi? Could that be? Look what happened to her. She left here. And she was so well-to-do. She left here, and in a second we'll hear the description.
Vatomarna vatomer aleihem.
You with me?
Al tikre na li Naomi.
She says, don't call me Naomi. Naomi means pleasant. That's not the name that's fit for me.
Kerenali mara ki heimal shaddai li me'od.
Call me bitter. Call me embittered. Because God has made it very bitter for me.
Ani melea halachti. Vereikam heshivani. Adonai,
I went here, I left here, I had a husband, I had children, I had wealth, I was pregnant, and God brought me back empty-handed. Lama tikrena li Naomi? Why should you call me Naomi Pleasant? Vadonai anavi veshadai heirali. God has testified that he's found me guilty, and so he has harmed me.
So was her name Mara from then on?
No, she's saying, she's recognizing that God has paid her back, that she's been given justice from heaven to an extent. She's saying, I deserved it. I'm coming back, and you're right, you're in shock. God's paid me back.
But
she left the city. Her husband was one of the leaders of the city. And this isn't just any city. This is a city that had potential for being our capital.
So
everyone recognizes her when she comes back. Even though ordinarily the princess isn't seen, but everyone knows that she's the one. She rides the chariots. When Naomi goes through town, she has servants all around her chariots. She has those precious scars. And now she walks in alone. Where are the chariots? Where's the wealth? Where's the husband? Where's the family? Is that Naomi? Naomi says, you're right. I'm not the Naomi that left. You can't use that name about me anymore.
So how come it still calls her Naomi through the whole...
That's her name. She's saying metaphorically.
She's just saying it's been tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Naomi says, God's made it very bitter to me. I've lost my husband, my children, my wealth. And when I left her, I had it all. I had everything. And God brought me back empty-handed. And I know it wasn't a coincidence. Naomi's come back without anyone else, and she recognizes God's hand in her life. And she says, I know I deserved it. Look at the level Naomi's on. The Gra has a fascinating comment on this chapter. The Gra says the only reason that a person is given wealth is so that he could help others. If one person has money and the other person doesn't have money, then that means that the one who has money was given the responsibility to see what to do with it to help other people. That's why he was given money, for no other reason. People think, I'm wealthy, so why'd God give me the money? Obviously, I'm supposed to enjoy life. Let me buy a fancy car, let me buy a fancy house. Come on, that's what I have money for, right? I work hard, that's why I have money. No, Chazal tells you can work hard and be rich, you can work hard and be poor. Working hard is not the key to success. A person says, yeah, but I outsmarted everyone. I knew when the stocks would go up, I knew when the stocks would go down. Chazal say, no, a person can be smart and he can be wealthy, and a person can be smart and he can be poor. Wisdom is not what gives wealth. Hashem decides who's going to be wealthy and who not. We got to do our best. But at the end of the day, that doesn't mean we'll have it.
Aren't you supposed to only give 10% to...
Okay, fine. But there's a lot of chesed. It's not just a question of tzedakah. There's leading the Jewish people. There's having an open home. There's achnasat tochim. There are a lot of ways to help.
Those are other, but the growth...
Well, it costs money.
Okay.
It all costs money. You can't do achnasas archim if you got nothing to feed them. You got to have room to put them up.
So like 10% for strictly speaking tzedakah, but then you have to invest the rest of it in good causes.
A person's life is supposed to be a life of chesed. Everything a person does. Teach Torah, a lot of things. So Naomi says, when I left, I had it all. But we left, we didn't want to do the right thing with everything we had. We wanted to ensure we stayed wealthy. The people needed us. So when we left, we had it all. But instead of recognizing that we have it all to give to help others, we were more focused on ensuring we'd remain with it all. And in so doing, we ended up losing it all. So she says, I lost my husband, my children, I lost it, everything.
And was there any... Were the sons punished for marrying Moabite women, or was that?
That's how the Targum learns. Yeah, there are different understandings as to why they died. One understanding is that it was because they married Moabite women. Yes.
Vatashov Naomi Verot Hamoavia Chalata Ima. Hashava Misadei Moab.
So Naomi returned. And Rust is described as Rust the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, came with her. She returned from the fields of Moab.
Vehema.
And they.
Ba'u Beit Lechem.
They came to Beit Lechem.
Bitchilat Kitzil Seorim.
They came to Beit Lechem on Pesach, the first day Chol HaMoed. They showed up and everyone's just started harvesting the harvest of
the
barley.
Omer, right?
Correct. They showed up on the first day of the Omer. So they traveled on Pesach itself. It was a They were going to die of hunger if they stuck around. And the Malach told them to go. They went. So they came back. And now they're here. How did everyone see them? So Chazal say that God's always planning. There's always a plan up there. Yosef is sold down to Egypt. There's a plan. Yehuda is demoted from his brothers. There's a plan. Yehuda marries a wife and loses his kids. There's a plan. What's God planning? God's planning Mashiach. How are you going to get the Mashiach? Well, Yosef has to marry Potiphar's daughter. The brothers have to come down to Mitzrayim. A whole long story. Yehuda has to end up marrying Tamar. From Tamar, he'll have Peretz and Chetzron. And from that will come the Davidic dynasty. God's always planning. So here God was also planning. And on that evening, the eve of Chol HaMoed, all of the Jewish people had gathered for a very special funeral. Their leader of the time, Ivtson Boaz, his wife passed away on Pesach. And God is planning, because God wants Boaz to be single, so that he'll marry Rus, which he will do at the end of our Megillah. And so, when Naomi and Rus come in, Boaz is busy burying his wife. But the rest of the people are just going up the main street with the procession, the funeral procession, just as Rus and Naomi enter. So the whole funeral procession looks up and gapes. That's Naomi. The whole city sees them at once. It's like a guy who walks into shul just as everyone turns around to say, Boi v'shalom, right? At the end of Lecha Dodi, everyone turns around and he walks in. Everyone sees him walking in late, right? So that's what happened to Naomi and Rus. They walk into town and everyone's there looking. Okay, they have no choice. They just walked in. But it's part of the plan. God's preparing. Now Boaz is going to be more fit to marry someone. The Pasuk is showing us the greatness of Rus. The Pasuk describes Rus as a woman who is returning from the fields of Moab. What does it mean she's returning? She was never in Israel in her life. Hashava Misdei Moab, is that talking about Naomi or Rus? Who's returning? Says Vatosh of Naomi. The Pasuk already describes Naomi as returning.
Vatosha of Naomi.
Verus Amoaviyoch Alosoi Moab. Hashava Misnei Moab. Who's returning from the fields of Moab? So maybe the pasuk is telling us that a ger is also returning. Deep down inside, he feels like he's coming back home. The pasuk is stressing to us the greatness of Rus. Usually, a ger has hardships. When he chooses to take a certain path, it's hard. His family might not approve, his old friends. Life is tough. And then a person can encounter a situation where he's chosen a path, and when he goes down that path, it gets even tougher. Economic hardships hit. But what Rus has is that she's been a princess, and she could always go back to Moabite territory like her sister-in-law did. And even though she sees her sister-in-law went back, and she knows her sister-in-law went back to a life of luxury, and even though she's coming to town and the whole town looks at her and says, that's Nami. And we could add another point. Rus doesn't know if any Jew will ever marry her because she's a Moabite. And the Torah says, don't marry the Moabites. And we see at the end of the Megillah that it wasn't so clear to people that you can marry a Moabite woman. We rule that you could. David HaMelech came from Rus. But that wasn't a clear ruling yet. So Rus is coming back to Israel territory. She's become a Gioret, knowing that she might never get remarried. And now she's come back into Israel, and everyone looks at her and says, oh, wow, look what happened to you guys. Oh, you left Israel. You thought you'd do better in Chutzlaretz. We see, okay. And Rus gives us, and Naomi gives a whole speech and says, yeah, I deserved it. I did wrong. Rus might have buried her head and said, yikes, I'm out of here. This is embarrassing. Wherever I go, people are going to talk about me. I'm that impoverished daughter-in-law. I married into a family of nobility, and now I'm the impoverished daughter-in-law. Rus doesn't turn back. And again, the pasuk is stressing the greatness of Rus. In spite of all this, she's there. Vatashov Naomi veRuta Moavia. They came back, and they were happy they came back. Kalata Ima, her daughter-in-law, was with her. She was as complete as she was, and this thought to her, come back to the land of Israel. They're back. Ul Naomi Moda Leisha Ish Gibor Chayil Nimishpachat Elimelech Ushmo Boaz. Naomi, she had a relative from her husband's family, a man who was a big Talmud Chacham from the family of Elimelech. His name is Boaz. So now we meet Boaz in the Megillah. Boaz is Moda Leisha, relative of her family.
Gibor Chayil means like he was a rich guy.
So Gibor Chayil could mean a man of valor, a man of strength. Gibor Chayil, Chayil is like army, Gibor is strength. We understand it to mean he was great in Torah. Yeah. So they're happy to be back. And they have a relative who is Boaz. Boaz, Chazal say, is Boaz. Within him was might, was power. Boaz, the word Boaz, Chazal tell us, is Boaz. Within him is strength. The man stood up to the time. Vatomel Ruta Moavia El Naomi Elechana Sade Valakota Vashibolim Achar Asher Emtzachin Beinad. Vatomer la lechi viti. Rus tells Naomi, I'll go to the fields, I'll gather, and whoever I find favor in his eyes, he doesn't kick me out, I'll gather over there. And Naomi says, go, my daughter. So what's going on here? Why isn't Boaz helping out his cousin? Right? Why aren't the people helping out Naomi and Ruth? Why does Ruth have to go out to the field and collect charity? So Naomi and Ruth are modest. And Naomi and Ruth don't want to trouble their relatives. And so Naomi and Ruth, they conceal the fact that they're impoverished. And even though Ruth grew up in a palace, she's a princess, a Moabite princess,
and Naomi was also
from the family of nobility. Ruth forgoes her own honor to help out her mother-in-law, her old mother-in-law. She says, I'll go out and I'll collect what we're entitled to. Leke, Chikha, and Peah are things we're entitled to. Let's not ask our relatives for gifts. These are things the Torah gave us. Now, technically, every person that has a field has to make these available to the poor. But Rus says, I will only collect from someone who's happy that I'm there. I could go to any field and collect it. I'm entitled to it. But that's another trait of a person on a high level, that they don't want to take something, even if they're entitled to it, unless the giver is happy with it. Like Shlomo HaMelech said, Al tilchom et lechem ra'ayin. Don't eat the bread of someone who has a bad eye. He might be offering to you, come have, eat, but better don't eat it. I'll tell you, eat, drink. But his heart isn't with you. After you finish eating your bread, tikiyana, you'll feel like vomiting. When you eat and you know the guy doesn't really want you to eat, on the moment you enjoy it, but right afterwards you feel like scum. So Shlomo HaMelech said, don't eat it. And so Rus also says, even though I'm entitled, I could go to any field and collect these matanot, no, I'm going to go to the one who I find favor in his eyes. He won't kick me out, or he'll be happy with the fact that I'm taken from his field. So she goes and returns and collects. Chazal say, she acted intelligently. Ordinarily, people start collecting from the beginning of the field. By the time they reach the end of the field, they have a huge pile they have to carry back. She did the exact opposite. She went to the end of the field, started collecting, so that by the time she has a huge pile, she's at the beginning of the field, she's where she could leave. She doesn't have to carry the whole pile across the field. So that's vatelech. She went, vatavon, she returned, vatelakit. And she collected basadeh in the field. She did it intelligently. Vayiker mikreha chelkat hasadeh leboaz asher mimishpachat Elimelech. So she happens upon the field of Boaz. Where do we find the word mikre, coincidence? Mikre is over here, and Mikre is also by Eliezer. When Eliezer is looking for a wife for his master, it says that it happened that Rivka was there. Well, it doesn't happen. Whenever the Torah uses the word Mikre, Vayiker, it happened. What the Torah means is it happened because God sought it that it should happen. Vayiker, it happened. It happened because God was watching. God wanted it to happen. So she ends up in the field of Boaz from the family of Elimelech. Chazal say that she was very careful when she went to make herself signs so that she'd know how to get back.
V'hine Boaz ba mibeit lechem. V'yomer lakotzerim, Adonai imachem. V'yomer ulo, yivarechecha, Adonai.
Boaz, even though he was coming to the harvesters, and he sees that he's making good money. It's like a guy that sees the money just rolling in. He turns to them and he says, Hashem imachem, may God be with you. And he's giving them here a piece of advice. May God be with you in your lives. Your lives should not be focused on the material, but rather on the spiritual. Hashem imachem. In your life, Hashem should be with you. Don't you be focused on the harvest and your money. Yeah, you're doing your job now. But whatever you do, Hashem imachem, God should be with you, which is one of the themes of his grandson David. What do we say? Shiviti Hashem v'nigdi tamid. Look, every chazan has in front of him that pasuk in Tehillim. That's what Shulchan Aruch begins with. Shiviti Hashem v'nigdi tamid. I place God opposite me always. A person can lead a life where he's doing mundane things, but he's connected to Hashem, or a person can do mundane things and he has a mundane life. Boaz tells the harvesters, Hashem imachem. He's coming to see his wealth. He's coming to look over his fields. He's still focused. What's the purpose of living in this world? So he tells the harvesters, Hashem imachem, may God be with you. And they answer him, Yevarechecha Hashem. You want us to be spiritual? Thank you, and may God bless you with the physical. Meaning, so long as you maintain your spirituality, so we also bless you that you should also have the material. Now, from here we derive that one should greet one's fellow man. Our sages instituted from the time of Boaz already with God's name. Hashem imachem. When we say Shalom Aleichem, the word Shalom is one of God's name. When we say Shalom Aleichem, we're saying God, whose name is peace, should be with you. That's Shalom Aleichem, and it's a rabbinic institution that they permitted us to use God's name to make peace between people.
Vayomer Boaz lena'aro hanitzav al hakotzerim lemi hana'ara hazot.
Usually girls didn't come out to the field. Girls didn't go and mingle among the boys who were harvesting. Rus has no choice. They have no man in the house. Her mother-in-law couldn't. So she went out. So Boaz tells the lad, who's the girl among the guys? Chazal tell us that Rus didn't have perspective of modesty yet. She was accustomed to going out with the guys. She saw nothing wrong with going harvesting among a bunch of guys. And that's why her mother-in-law is going to tell her a little bit later on, she's going to say, you stick with the girls. Don't go with the male harvesters. You go with the female harvesters. But Rus grew up in an area where that was the norm. She saw nothing wrong with it. And this is the great, great Rus. Chazal also tell us, how come Boaz notices girls? So Chazal say he saw her acting in an unusual way. Ordinarily, the poor took whatever they could get. The halacha says if one stook or two stooks fall, the poor may take it. If three fall, they may not. He saw that Rus was always careful to keep an eye out for that. Whatever she was entitled to take, she took. Whatever not, she didn't. Chazal say he saw that everyone else was quick to jump down and fight to grab whatever fell. Rus did not. She was never fighting. Chazal say he saw the way she bent down to pick up the stooks. Women would bend over to pick up the stooks, and she would bend over in a modest fashion, like a kneeling position, you know, ladylike, so that the skirt doesn't cling to her body as she bends over, as though she were sitting down when she picks up the stooks, when she bends down. Now, instead of bending down from the waist, bending down from the knees. So Boaz sees an unusual girl. She's so modest, yet she's dressed like a Moabite. Who is this? What's going on here? So the lad answers him and he says, Vayan hanar anitzav al hakotzerim vayomar nara moaviyahi hashava im naomi misedei moav. The lad tells him, this is the lad who's in charge of all the men harvesting, says it's a young Moabite girl who came back. She did gear with Naomi. She came from the fields of Moab. It's a young Gioris. So it seems that Rus was young. He's calling her a Nara, a young girl. This indicates that Rus must have been somewhere around 12, 13, 14, which is slightly problematic, because then how did Mahlon marry her 10 years earlier? But she's called a young girl, so she wasn't too old, and we find that she was still alive in King Solomon's time, about 80, 100 years later. So that works if we say she was really so young. So the lad says she's a young Moabite girl who came through with Naomi. Says, you know, there's no one else in the family. She's the only girl who came back with Naomi. And Naomi has no husband, she has no husband, so she has to help out. And she came, she's Moaviah, the daughter of the king. She had it good in Moab, and she came back with Naomi, who has it so bad, from the fields of Moab. And each word here is praise. She's Moabite. He calls her Moabite not as a disgrace, but as a term of honor. She was the daughter of the Moabite king. Shava im Naomi, she returned with Naomi, even though Naomi is in this wretched state. Misdei Moab, she came back from Moab, where in Moab everything's cheap, and there's peace, it's quiet, she came back to be here. And look at her, this princess is coming here to pick up stooks. Vatomir alakotana v'asafti va'omarim acharei akotzerim. She said to herself, I'll go, I'll gather a little bit what's left after the harvesters. Vatavo vata amod me'az haboker ve'ad ata zeh shivta habayit me'at. And she's been here from early in the morning till now. She just went home for a small break. She's a very studious worker. She was up here early. She's really working hard. And she's careful to take what she's entitled to, and she's careful to do it with tzniut, and she's achareya kotzrim. She always walks behind the men that are harvesting. She's never in front of them, she's never next to them, even though technically that would be the best position if she wants to be the first to get what falls from them. But she's modest. And she's been here collecting. She's a person who's not lazy. She does things well. And over here at the field, even though it's hot, there are no trees, she just took a small break at home, but she's really working hard. So the lad gives her a good report. And Boaz goes over to talk to her, and this is where we'll pick up Ezachem next time.